Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, hey, how's it going, Nadia?
Hey, hey, it's another 90 Day Fiancé, happily ever after. Not really. Not really, especially when it comes to Kimberly.
I liked that it didn't, though. that kind of made me happy.
Because?
I just liked that it didn't. We already knew that it was going to be a bad idea. She pretty much had already said no before this episode already aired. So it's like, it shouldn't have come as no surprise. It made me smile that it wasn't going their way.
And by just, she, you mean the mom, right? Usman's mom.
Usman's mom, but also the rest of the family too wasn't having it. The rest of the family was also like, what are you doing, Usman? You know, she wants grandchildren. What are you doing with this person, right? Like, I don't know if it was his brother or his dad, but even one of them was like, what is it about these American girls? Like, when yeah. this type of woman that can't have children or something like that. I was like, ooh, she doesn't even know what they're talking about. She's just kind of like, sitting there with her eyebrow raised, not even
knowing.
Can
I say something?
Please say something. Please do.
No, that's what she said. That's what she
kept... Oh, right.
Can I say something? She points out a finger.
Because she wanted to explain, I guess, yeah. That the cow wasn't a bribe.
Yeah.
Cow's a bribe, y'all. I guess it's a traditional gift, too, but...
Yeah, I think it is because, well, actually, one of the brothers reminded us that BGL had given a goat, right? Or a sheep.
Yes.
So it does seem like a bit much in terms of someone trying to get them to accept the person. So I can see how they see it as a bribe.
Yeah.
Though personally, I wouldn't get a bull. I would get a cow because a cow could reproduce. But
I thought it was a cow.
It was a bull. Yeah, it was a bull. And bull's meat is really lean. Maybe that's why. But also, I think she didn't want to pay for a cow. A cow is more expensive because I think a cow has more use. But someone on Reddit actually pointed out, like, why is she being stingy on the purchase when she was fine buying him a PS5 and a MacBook?
Right.
You know?
So you're telling me that they literally could see through the bull. Goodumsh. Bullshit. Was that bad?
I see what you did there.
And $185 isn't bad.
Oh, I thought it was
$500. They bargained it down.
Man. Yeah, bargained it down. But yeah, I mean, that she shouldn't sweat that. I mean, she bought him a PS5 and a MacBook.
Yeah.
What I really found funny is that someone on Pillow Talk, I think it was Molly's best friend, I forgot her name. You know, when the brother commented about how, like, why does he always bring home this type of women, right? And then Molly's best friend was like, maybe when he was growing up, he was watching a lot of Granny's Gone Wild. It's like,
oh,
damn.
No.
Somebody's got to say it.
Yikes.
Thanks, man. I guess Usman's plan to get a green card is being foiled again because his family is not going to accept her for obvious reasons, right? She's not able to bear him children.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're about to find out that she argued that she's not going to be his second wife.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know where she would go from here. I think this relationship is a fail to begin with.
Yeah, and I'm over it anyway. And also, I think it's also for the best. You know, at the end of this, I think he's accomplished what he can accomplish on this show. Is it going to be world domination when it comes to his music career? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. But he's gotten exposure out of it. He's gotten to spin some singles, you know, on the show. He's gotten exposure. It's a dub, bro.
Yeah.
It's, you know, maybe you're not going to get Kim, but that's also good. I think in the long run, that's also for the best.
Yeah. Did anyone else hear the flex that Kimberly put out? She said, like, oh, this is scarier than Desert Storm.
Yeah, then when she was fighting in Desert
Yeah,
Storm.
I know. Is that Iraq? Yeah, right?
Yeah,
Because when she said that, I was like, ooh,
war in the
flex.
Middle East or whatever. Yeah,
Yeah.
Iraq, right.
I guess meeting the parents is scarier.
That's insulting, though, to anyone who's served. Come on now.
I know. And remember, she said she's jumped the plane a lot, out of the
Yeah.
plane a lot. So, and she's been flexing. Well, anyway, shall we move on
Yes.
to Lon? Cannot wait to move on. But yes, let's move on to Jovi and Yara. I think they had a small scene, right? I think it was just her and the mom, and she's telling her mom, like, hey, I got my green card. Now I can't wait to go back to Europe. But then the scenes before that of them is her finally kind of meeting him midway, like saying that, hey, I'll wait for you, right?
Yeah, so they kind of retread the conversation about the Ukraine, which I think has dragged on long enough. Like you pointed out, I think the highlight was when she was with her daughter. I think that's the scene, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was a nice break. It was a nice refresher to see how fun Yara is and just to get away from that conversation that it just feels like has been going on for 3 or 4 episodes already about whether or not we're going to go to Ukraine and if you're going to wait for Jovi or not. And that's Myla. How old is she now? She's so cute.
Yeah, I think
I
she's
like
in the cute.
how angry she looked when they were just forcing her to play with the paint, and
Yeah.
she's just looking around. What are you guys making me do?
She's got that sassy attitude from her mom, I guess.
Yeah. And Yara was like, Americans have signs for everything. Everything's on the wall. Like she was saying, they have everything hanging on their walls, but I don't know, a carpet or something like that on the wall. To me, that was the standout moment from the whole Yara Jovi thing for me.
Yeah, me too. Like the biggest takeaway from their scene is the fact that she finally relent to waiting for him until he comes back from work to go to Europe, which I think is probably the best for them.
Yeah.
So, another episode and another scene with Bilal just confirming that he's not willing to start a family with Shaida. When is Shaida going to see this? Because I think we're all seeing this, and Shaida's just what, looking the other way? Like, I don't understand this. Like, it's clear that he's not interested. You know, like the doctor said, well, your ovary count is low. And so, if you really want to have a baby, you got to start doing it right away within 6 months or whatever that he prescribed. And the look on his
The
face, like,
look on his face.
yeah, like, oh shit. Now I guess I cannot wear that condom anymore.
Yeah. That to me was bittersweet. I'm happy that Shaida kind of gets what she wants and that, look, we can't wait anymore.
Yeah.
We really have to try. And they can finally start to get the ball rolling on that. Well, depending on how much Bilal will resist or not, but she finally got professional confirmation that waiting is not the best way to go about this. So I'm happy that that's going. It is like, not the best news that her days are numbered, right? Or her chances, I guess the chances because of her eggs are being low count, the chances are slimmer and starting to decrease. It's like, oh, that's not great. But hey, on the bright side, now you've got the ammunition to say, Bilal, we gotta fucking do this.
Yeah. And to be clear, they have options, right?
Oh,
By,
frozen eggs and stuff
yeah,
too.
they could freeze the egg or they can do IVF. So it's not like they're out of option. It's just that I guess for her, it's disheartening to hear that, yes, your ovary count is lower because of your age. And that's kind of expected as you grow older. Like he said, right? You start with a million eggs when you're young. And then as you get progressively older, then you become like Angela.
Yeah, this was all obvious for everyone else watching
Yeah.
episodes ago. We're like, dude, what? How old is she again? 38, something like that.
She's
We're
37, I
or
want to
seven,
say.
38. Yeah,
Yeah.
but we're all already thinking this, right? And like,
Yeah.
Bilal keeps saying, wait, wait, it's best to wait. Before you even went to see the doctor, I'm pretty sure everyone in America was like, no, I'm pretty sure she's reaching an age right now, like where her clock's ticking.
Yeah.
You know, so finally he gets it. It's said that from a medical professional, look, this is what's happening. We got confirmation from the blood work, and his face was just
Yeah, I just wonder at what point would he man up and tell her, like, hey, I just need you to know that I'm not moving forward with this. I guess he's also afraid of losing her, but I also think that because of his lack of honesty towards her, he's imprisoning her, or rather, like, trapping her with the fact that, you know, they're both not aligned when it comes to this baby making process. And that's heartbreaking to watch because, you know, as you can tell, she was so devastated to hear that news, understandably. And he's just being, once again, robotic. He was like, not even, I don't know about you, but it doesn't seem like he's comforting her. He's just like, well, too bad. I feel like that's his attitude towards this whole situation is that, well, too bad. Well, I guess we just have to wait. I just feel like he's not comforting her as a
No,
husband
he's
should.
not comforting her because I think he feels at this point that he's the one at a loss, that he's the one that's now has to sacrifice his time, right? I guess he feels like the victim here. He felt like I had 2 years and you took those 2 years away from, like, you know, per hour prenup or whatever. I think he was under the impression that he had 2 years and now she's taking that away
I can see
and it's
that
down
too.
to 6 months and he's the one that's losing out on this. So yeah, it wasn't even in his mind to comfort her. It was in his mind like, oh shit, this sucks for me,
Yeah, because
right?
if we accelerate this is like not
Yeah,
what I
this sucks
intend.
for me. He was not excited. If anything, like now his days are numbered too. And he said, yeah, you know, we just can't jump right in. Well, the doctor said you really don't have much of an option here if you're going to start trying. So, and I just think the whole you're going to leave me as a cop out, I don't believe it one bit. You know, she can say that. I think he knows. Yeah, does she say that stuff? Yes, but I think he knows these are not real threats that are going that would happen if they have kids. He just uses it as a cop out. You're going to leave me. You're going to leave me. You guys are going to have a kid and she's going to leave you. Like, do you really think that's going to happen? I think if you don't have kids, then she's more prone to leave because you're wasting her time. But she's not just going to leave like after you have a child together. I don't think that's going to happen.
Agree. All right, from one couple who's not quite having sex to a couple who had sex and an accident. We're talking about cowgirl Jenny
A
and
displaced navel, is that what he called it?
navel displacement. Dude, I've
A
never heard
naval
of that. Is
displacement.
that another term for hernia?
It could be. He said he ended up having diarrhea because of it, but I
Yeah, like his
think it
stomach was
was.
bruised or something. Is that what he said? Stomach hurt. And I was like, that sounds like hernia to me. Like, if you put a lot of weight on, you know, and especially in that position, like, hernia came to mind,
Yeah.
is what I'm saying.
It just sounds like a pretty bad injury, like a navel
Yeah.
being displaced.
Displace. Yeah.
Very unpleasant to hear. I was like, oh, what?
Yeah. So Patrick from, you know, Patrick and Thais. Patrick was on Pillow Talk and he told his brother that he had his navel displaced when he benched 800 pounds. But that's 800 pounds. And I don't think Jenny is 800 pounds
Oh, is it from the pressure from
from the
when
pressure.
push. Sounds
So
like it hurts.
I
Oh
know,
my
dude. That
gosh.
doesn't sound like a fun Kama Sutra exercise, I guess. I guess for me, the biggest takeaway here is not really about that incident. It's more of the whole, well, one, Sumit low key hinting that Jenny's overweight or fat, however you want to see it or put it. And then the other thing is, and I'm on Jenny's side here, Sumit measuring her up to his mom's standards, which is not fair, right? I
Correct.
think if we have any male listeners, I just wish that guys, you can't expect women to be your moms. Like, you don't, unless you really want to marry your mom, like,
All
you
right.
cannot put them on the same level. You know, different women are different. You know, that triggers me because I don't like when men start comparing their partners to their moms. Like, okay, if you like the way your mom do it, then stay at home. Don't marry someone else.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. He said something about that too. Like, he said something like, she can't say that, oh, she's American and she can't do this. She has to be a traditional kind of what they expect, I think, Indian housewives to be all the time, right?
Yeah. But if she wants to use a vacuum cleaner, what's that got to do with being American or not?
Right. And for me, it wasn't even so much that. For me, it was, well, the only reason you want this is to make, like you said, appealing
To the
to his
mom.
mom and
Yeah.
to his parents so he could win them back, which I think right now is a lost cause. And I think it's possible, yeah, oh, after some time, you know, you can't just come by. I don't know if it was the end of this episode or if it was the trailer for next. He's gonna go stop by and say, hey guys, what's up? Are we cool again? No, the
He's going
fuck
to
you're
invite them
not.
over, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no amount of cleaning the house
Yeah.
is gonna fix this. This isn't the clean house wasn't the problem.
It's
Like,
the age
yeah,
difference.
Jenny can clean the house till it's spotless.
The
That's
mom
not
would
gonna,
still not accept her.
right. This isn't gonna, that's not gonna fix anything. That's not
Yeah.
gonna make any everything okay.
I can see why he tried to emphasize on the cleaning because it's one way to compensate for the age difference is that okay, she may be older, but look, mom, she can clean and cook as well
Right.
as you. So I can see that's his way of like making up for the age difference, the age gap. But I still think it's not nice to put that on her
Right.
to make her like, oh, you gotta clean. And the only way to do that is using the broom because it's physically healthy or it makes you physically active or something. That's like, dude, now you're low-key body shaming her.
Yeah.
Or something like you're being prescriptive, and I don't like it when men are being prescriptive on how women should clean. Like, and she has the best comeback too. It's like if you want things done a certain way, you do it yourself.
Why don't you fucking do it? Yeah.
Yeah, do it yourself.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
again, right? Like, you made a really good point about making this living up to the standards of his mom because his mom cooks, his mom cleans, his mom can do a backwards fucking yoga bridge pose or whatever.
His
Right?
mom
You know what I
can
mean?
floss up her
All of
nose
this
and
shit. Yeah. So it's like, dude, do you want a mom or do you want a wife?
yeah.
Like,
Yeah. All right, dude. Technically, we've come to the end of our coverage. Well, we have one more couple. I'm just very, very hesitant to talk about them because I don't know about you, Lon. It has gotten really, really toxic between Andre and Libby. To the point where I don't know if TLC is trying to promote domestic abuse or are they trying to showcase love between couples because it's certainly not the latter. It's so much emphasis on the drama. And I get it. This is reality TV, guys. We're both no strangers to reality TV. It has to have some sort of mess and dumpster fire. But when it's tethering on abuse, right? In whichever form, right? So let me just not mince my words here and be very, very transparent with what Angela is doing to Michael, right?
Right.
And it, with how Big Ed is with Liz, they're both very toxic. And I don't know why they're still featured on TV without any disclaimer or warning. It's about time TLC look at themselves and be like, is this what we're about? We're promoting and glorifying toxicity and unhealthy relationship. Is that what you guys are about? Because shame on you because this is not what your viewers want to watch. We want to see the drama between couples that are not from the US, they're trying to get a green card, you know, couples who are long distance, who are trying to like close the gap between them. I get it. There is nothing wholesome about happily ever after. That title itself is a deception. So
Yeah.
TLC needs to get their act right because I feel like this is probably the last time I'm going to talk about Andre and Libby because I don't know who's worse, Libby for taking it or Andre for being simply the most verbally abusive guy that every single word that we hear from him is a cuss word that is bleeped out. If I don't turn on closed caption, I wouldn't even know what the fuck he's saying.
Yeah. And
So
for me, it's like she was even there to support him and she's going through it with him. If anything, she's on his side and he was blaming her. You were fucking laughing during the interview. You were making a joke. She's like, no, I just thought, the question could have been taken. And I get it. She probably was like, well, what do you,
nervous.
yeah, she was like, what do you mean? And
Yeah.
maybe it came out that way. Like, well, what do you mean? Because it could be different answers. He might say we met at this date. I might say we met when we talked on the phone. And it maybe came out as like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And like, well, you just answered this question. You answer it, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, dude, she's on your side. Like, you guys can go through, can get through this together. And instead, he's turning her into the enemy. He's taking it out on her and he's ultimately blaming her for why they might possibly not get it, or he might, excuse me, possibly not get his citizenship or whatever.
Yeah, his permanent green card. Yeah, Andre is that type of douchebag who blames everyone except himself. I mean, this is a guy who has a shady past, as we found out during his trip to Moldova. I mean, don't you think the immigration or border patrol will not do a background check on you?
Right.
I'm sorry, but you have a shady past,
Yeah.
and it's every country's right to do a background check on you, to enforce the interview process on you. And Yara and Jovi went through it. They came out fine. The thing too is that Andre is being overly reactive and exaggerating when it comes to that particular question, when actually there's no wrong answer. Your wife may interpret the way you met differently than you. You know, like what Libby said, right? She was wondering, like, are they asking when did we first meet in person or when did we first meet on social media? Or, you know, there are ways to interpret a question from USCIS. I don't think that's like the be all end all, or like that's not going to kill your chances. What will kill your chances is your shady ass past. I think that deserves a second look. And I think Andre should stop blaming her family because there's no proof that someone snitched on you.
You brought that up again, and I was like, there's a very, very, very small. And even then, I'm like rolling my eyes. I don't think anyone went to fucking, hey, check out this Andre
Yeah.
guy. He's really suspicious. I don't know. I don't think you should trust it. Like, come on. I don't think they give a shit enough to get
Yeah.
all the call that out. I really don't.
I think we have to give the USCIS more credit because imagine if they took every single snitch into account.
Yeah.
Like, they won't be doing their job properly. Like, I'm pretty sure every single complaint is being heard, but being investigated too. I mean, we got to believe that. I also think that the family may hate him, but I don't think anyone has time to like call the USCIS
And
just
that's
to,
what I mean. I get that they
yeah.
feel strongly about him, but I mean, I don't know if they would really go out of their way that much. To me, I just think that just shows how much Andre is full of himself, that he thinks it's
Yeah.
all about him. Like,
Yeah, like the
they
world
must
revolves around him.
be, yeah, it's they must be against me. They don't want me to be here. I don't think they care enough about you, really. If any, they do love Libby. I get that they hate your guts, but for them to really dial a number and sabotage your marriage and want you to take Libby to Moldova, I don't think they give a shit about you that much to go, hey,
Yeah.
this guy, I don't like him. Look into his past in
Yeah, I know.
Moldova. Like, I don't
I
know
think if
about
they really,
that.
really hate him, they would call the cops on him, not really call the USCIS on him.
Yeah.
That's just too much work. And plus, it will implicate them too, because remember, all of them have some sort of criminal record. They all have
Yeah.
DUIs.
And as much as they're afraid that he will take Libby and the family away, it's in their best interest too that he stay here because
Yeah.
they know Libby will follow. If
Yeah. Libby
he
will take the
cannot
camera
stay.
crew with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but this doesn't discount the fact that Andre is just very abusive.
No, of course, of
The fact
course.
that he got livid with her for trying to help him with the tie, I'm like, bro,
I remember that. Yeah, you're right.
that was very uncomfortable to me. That was very toxic. I can't believe that
He yelled at her for the,
he
what
yelled at her. He
are you
cussed
doing?
at her.
Oh my, yeah.
Like this guy just think that he's always right and he blames her for everything.
Yeah.
And she takes it.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna leave that there because that whole scene with them is very depressing. It's not healthy. It's just not the most pleasant thing to watch. That's not a normal relationship.
No.
Period. All right, Lon, what is your WTF moment just to wrap this up?
Again, WTF, but I don't know. For me, I liked it when the doorbell rang and they're like, "We got the cow." And they're like, "What? There's a cow? Is this a bribe?" And Kimberly was like, "Hold up. Like,
Can
let
I
me
say
explain
something?
something. Can I say something?" Yeah. That whole freak out and that whole mess. I was just
Messiness of
enjoying
it.
every part of that moment. Like, it sounds bad. It sounds bad that I want this to fail, but I want it to fail for good reasons, right? I want it to fail because it's not a right fit. It's so obviously not the right fit. It's not a good fit. The family sees that. I think we all see that, you know, and I think
Stevie
even
Wonder sees that.
yeah. You know, and I'm not just not saying that because I'm not a fan of Gimbali, but I also think Usman isn't here for the right reasons. This is something that we have discussed on this podcast too. Usman is actually, I don't think he's in it for the right reasons.
Opportunist.
Yeah. Kimberly, she's in it for the right reasons, but I just don't think she's really that great of a person and that she's really gonna embrace the culture the way Usman wants her to. So that's my gripe with Kimberly. But Usman, I just think he's not in it for the right reasons. I don't think he loves Kimberly the way he says he does. This is very transactional for him. He's going to get something out of this. He's going to further his career or whatever he believes. He's going to come to America and thrive, which is good. But I don't think you should have it under the guise of, I love this woman, you know, when you don't really. I just feel it was very predatory for him when he's singling out people like baby girl Lisa and Kimberly and
Targeting.
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we both agree that this is not a knock on his hustle. We know that it's a hustle and we kind of respect it because he's winning. His music is out there. We know about it.
Yeah.
I think when you toy with people's feelings or when you do it at the expense of someone's emotions, that's fucked up.
Yeah. It's
I
not
can
a
get
good
down to
fit for
that.
either of them. Yeah.
Well, my WTF moment is not even a moment. It's a person and it's Andre. He's a
Another
W he's a
walking
walking
WTF.
WTF. Yeah, enough said. I don't need to emphasize. I think, yeah, I don't want to see him on the screen anymore. I cannot stand him. Clearly trashy too when you cuss in front of your young daughter.
Yeah.
Like really trashy. Really trashy.
Yeah, but I'm glad you said that because it's not just how he treats her when they're alone. It's how he treats her in front of her family too.
And it's
Come
the
on,
way he
guy.
talks to women, if you notice, he goes harder on women. Like he just loses respect when he talks to Jen, Becky, to Pam, the mom. But when he talks to, with the exception of Charlie, because he cannot get along with Charlie, but when he talks to Chuck, when he talks to his dad, he's fine. But when he talks to women, I'm seeing that like he just lowers his respect on them, you know, like he's so clearly misogynistic, very sexist of him. And
Right.
yeah, man, TLC, you gotta do better.
Do
Gotta do
better.
better. All right, enough of TLC. Let's take a break and we'll be right back after these messages or not. All right, we are back. If you are listening to us on Spotify, there might be an ad playing. If not, I'm sorry, this is really awkward. We usually put an ad in between our breaks, just like any other podcast. But here we are talking about the second last episode of House of Dragon. Hot
Oh
D.
no. Winding down to the season finale.
I know. Such a good show. Such a good show. Lon, I'll give the floor to you. Say your piece, whatever you want to profess about the show, about this episode. And yeah, we can go from there.
I don't like Kristen Cole.
Fuck him.
He stands out more and more. In the beginning of the season, I was really excited for this guy. But, I think that's what also makes the show good, because his character arc, was like, hey, this is a good guy, honorable, and this is a guy I can get behind. And here we are, season 9, and I can't stand the
Stand
guy.
him.
I can't stand him. Are there no consequences for killing a member of the council? Like, what the hell happened? And then the Lord Commander was like, take off your cloak. Drop your sword, take your cloak off. Yeah, I get it that, he justified it himself by, I won't let someone talk to the queen like that. You just killed somebody, though, and he got to keep his cloak. And I'm just like, wait, he just gets to go? He does. He's still part of the King's Guard and everything. And, with the backing of the queen, he's pretty much invincible. Being besties with her, like, she pulls him aside, and I don't know if she was trying to be suggestive, but when she pulled him aside to have him like do this favor with whatever you feel for me, you need to
That
give
was a
me, you need
hint.
to. I was like, like, eyebrow raise, like, what? Like, are we supposed to read into this line? Well, that was one part. I'm glad Masaria is back making power moves, right? This is a very well-written show, by the way, but there were a lot of really good lines in this episode particularly. And I couldn't write them down. I wrote some of them down verbatim, but when she said something about, when you put your king on the throne, remember it was me who put him there. And I was like,
Is the
and I
power that we the people give you, that you take
yes.
from us.
Yes, so much good writing in this episode. And again, there were all over the episode. I was like, oh man, that is fucking good. Oh man, this is really good stuff. But that for me was Missaria making power play. And with who else? Otto, of all people, right? Which I think is really, really powerful. My thing is, I don't fully trust Otto. So it's like, oh, I'll remember. Do you mean you'll remember and you'll say, well, we got to keep our eye on this one? Or do you remember and she'll get rewarded for it? So that was kind of my man. Like, I don't know. I don't trust Otto with that. But here we are. It's split now. It's time to pick a side. Are you team black or are you team green? And correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I read it, they're killing people. They're killing people,
They're
right?
killing people
They're
who don't bend the
imprisoning.
knee.
Yeah, they're imprisoning them, but there was definitely that one scene where the guy who was standing, he bent the knee, and it was almost like he was threatened to when they said anybody else. And I think the two people that were like, well, we align with, they got quietly walked out of the scene. And he's like, oh, he like bends the knee. I'm like, that's when it kind of occurred. Are they just straight up killing people now? And they kind of explicitly say it when Allison's like, are you going to kill him? They will. Rhaenyra and her family will have an opportunity to bend the knee and what is it? Obeisance, something obeisance or whatever. But Allison said it and was like, no, like, are you going to kill him? And I was like, oh shit, they're killing. They're going to start killing people.
I think this is the part where we see that Otto and Ellison are actually not aligned. Ellison
Yes.
finally gets it, or finally verbalize it, that, yo, Dad, you've been using me.
Right. That
You've
was
been
kind of
plotting.
the main theme of the show, I think, where it was a race to see who gets to Aegon first,
First,
right? Yeah.
yeah, because I think if Otto got to him first, Otto would have given him specific instructions on like what to do next. And Allison wanted to intercept that because she wanted her son to spare Rhaenyra and her family's life, which again, I don't know where that's gonna go, because this Aegon the second seems a bit unstable. Like, you can tell that like, he didn't want the throne, but then once he got into it, he's like, yeah, I'm the king now. Okay,
Yeah,
great, let's
that
do it.
scene at the end.
Exactly. So I think I can see him like a Joffrey, where he goes like buck wild. Like, remember Cersei thought that she could control him, but Joffrey just went off. Case in point, Ned Stark was not supposed to be beheaded, but Joffrey was the one who went ahead with it. And Cersei was like, I didn't tell you to decapitate this guy. Like,
Right.
we're supposed to spare him to get the Stark on board with us. But anyway, I didn't want to digress. But I find that the whole Eric and Eric thing, like the way the other Eric switched sides was a little bit too quick. And maybe this was more of like a scene that didn't make it to the final cut, is that maybe they've been showing Eric and Eric being conflicted, right? Because during this episode, we see that the other brother was showing, like, hey, this is what Aegon likes to do. He has all these bastards and he makes them fight each other and all that. And the other Eric was like, ew, like, what the fuck? Am I supposed to serve this savage king? Like, no, like, I can't get behind this. So I feel like the switching of allegiance was kind of done a little bit too quick for me, even though I like the pace of this show. But yeah, you know, starting from what you said earlier, like, I can't believe once again Christian Cole got away with killing someone. But I also think it's because everyone in the room tolerating that is basically has chosen sides. So for Lord Bisbury, who died, he was the only one who spoke up and said, this is treason. You cannot possibly be going ahead with this. You cannot usurp Rhaenyra, who a lot of houses have pledged allegiance to. And then once Criston Cole went like cold-blooded on him, like nobody said a thing because they're like, well, we're Team Green.
Yeah, we're moving on.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought would happen is Aemon, and this may not happen this episode, but maybe in season two and the next one, I think that at some point Aemon might kill his brother to become the king because he's next in line and he feels, from what he's verbalized, that he deserves to be the king, the actual
Right.
king. So,
He actually explicitly says it this episode.
yeah, like I wonder too if he makes that same bargain that Rhaenyra did with Laenor, that hey, I'm gonna let you sail off, you just give me the throne. But then it turns out that Aegon kind of went ahead with the ceremony and it seems like he enjoyed it. The other thing I was gonna point out is, ew, Larys has a feet fetish. And I get it. Like, I think what the show is trying to show us is because he has a feet problem, right? I don't know what to call it. Like, he's disabled in that sense. So I guess he's really turned on by feet. And maybe his arrangement with the queen that, hey, I'm gonna do all these favors for you, but I just need to see your feet.
See your feet.
Show me the feet, man, so I can get off on it. And last thing before we can start discussing some other stuff, I was slightly disappointed that Rhaenys did not Dracarys them when she had the chance, because that could have just ended the whole thing. I mean, that could also end the whole season too. But yeah, I just wish that she had done something. I was also thinking, like, even if she were to burn them, going back to Daenerys, what Daenerys said about her own brother Viserys, if you're a real dragon, fire doesn't affect you. So technically, if you're a real Targaryen, supposedly, right, you won't really be burnt. So it would kill the Hightowers, who are the actual villains or instigators. You know, they're the plot makers of all these schemes. But it won't burn the Targaryen kids. But I think Rhaenys stopped short because she saw how Alyson was protecting Aegon, and she was like, well, one mom to another mom, I guess. I'll spare your life first, but I'll let Rhaenyra take care of y'all. Deuces. I just wish that she had Dracarys. I was like shouting at my TV, like, Dracarys, that's fucking sad. Because that would have been a satisfying ending for me.
That moment was a very key moment. And I also wondered if it was, again, almost like a power play. Just like Missarya was like, remember who put him there. She was looking at Allison like, you
Remember, I
fucking
spared your
owe
life.
me. Like, how dare you imprison me? How dare you not let me take me to my dragon, right? Here we are, and I'm letting this slide. You know what I mean? And I was just like, oh, she's flexing right now. Like, she's on top of her dragon. Like, don't you fucking forget this moment, right? Like, I've got the dragon.
I think too, the Hightowers are very confident of their firepower too, because they feel like they have the biggest dragon right now in this particular time period. So they're like, okay, well, nothing can happen to us because we have Aemon, the dragon rider, But we also have to remember that during the preview, we see that Daemon is waking the previous king, Jaehaerys's dragon, who's like
Right.
the
Oh, you're right.
second or
You're right.
third biggest dragon during this time period. So I cannot wait to see what will happen
Fucking
next.
dragon fights. Oh
Yeah.
man,
Oh,
it's
yeah.
gonna be nuts. Oh,
Yeah. I wonder too, like, if someone's gonna get slain, you know, if someone's gonna get killed off the show before season one is over. Because I mean, I don't know how else they're gonna hook us in and make us wait another
it's
year
a
or two.
season finale. Anything can happen on any given show.
Yeah.
But the season finale, they're gonna have to go out with a bang.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to believe that Mysera did not die in the fire because you saw that there was a building that was on fire at the end of the show to kind of allude to the fact that Laerys did the favor for the queen. But I want to think that Mysera is more slippery than that. Like, I think she
Yeah.
probably know what's coming and hopefully she's gonna reappear again somehow. And I was also hoping that Laenor may come back and help Team Black somehow, because he has a dragon too. So,
Still a possibility, right?
yeah,
This show
yep.
is so clever in that they give us enough openings to like open endings, right? Untied loose ends or wherever, where they leave it open for possibility.
Yeah.
Like
All right. Anything else, Lon, that you want to add?
there was something, the daughter, I keep forgetting her name, Allison's daughter. There was something she said when Allison was trying to talk to her, and I didn't know if she was trying to, if again she was soothsaying or whatever it is she does.
Yeah.
She said, "There's a beast beneath the boards," and then
That's,
Allison, "Oh, my poor
yeah.
girl," or whatever, and then it was over, and I was like, "Wait, what was that?" So I wrote it down just in
Yeah.
case it was important.
I think she predicted the fact that Rhaenys came out of the ground with her dragon.
Okay.
Yeah, the beast was beneath the sept and came out. I
Oh,
at least that's my
that's a
interpretation of
good,
it.
yeah, no, that's a good
Yeah.
one. Yeah.
Yeah. And the girl's obsessed with spiders. I mean, there's so many things that we could probably like really deep dive into, but that would take hours.
Yeah, I could keep talking. I've got more notes, but
Yeah, no,
we.
I mean, if there's something that's worth noting, like definitely we should bring it up. Otherwise,
Yeah.
I mean, like for me, I really just enjoyed the conflict between the kids, you know, and I cannot wait to see what will happen next. I have a feeling one of Rhaenyra's son may get killed because Aemon's gonna be collecting, like he's gonna cause some
Aemon gets
collateral.
more and more interesting
Yeah.
as the season has progressed. Like, I really didn't like him, when he stole the dragon. I really and he lost his eye. I really didn't like him. But this grown Aemon, I don't know where we stand with this guy yet. He's mysterious. He doesn't say a lot, but when he does, it's almost like a scene stealer. And it's kind of cool to see. Like, okay, like he's really starting to become an interesting character.
Yeah, like I said in the last recording, like he plays a part
He does. Yeah,
really
he does.
well, even with
Yeah.
his one eye, like behind a patch. Like he's such a great actor in that
Yeah.
sense. Yeah, otherwise, I really like, I think we're starting to see the real true colors of Otto Hightower. And I get it. In his head, he's thinking, all right, I'm going to kill a few people for the betterment of the Seven Kingdoms so that we don't really start an actual war. But that's just how ruthless he is. You know,
Yeah.
he leaves no stone unturned. He really wanted everyone to bend the knee and he didn't even give them time to think it through. Yeah, and he killed Lord Caswell, right? The guy who pledged his allegiance
Yeah.
to Rhaenyra.
It
And
really is to him like a chess game where people are pawns. If you got to make a few sacrifices to win the game, you make a few sacrifices. It's nothing to him. Like
yeah. Do you know who he reminds me of? Oh, I think the role that he's about to play reminds me of. He reminds me of Tywin Lannister trying to control Joffrey. So Otto Hightower is trying to control Aegon to rule the way he wants his kingdom to be ruled because he thinks he can pull the strings. And
Right.
Ellison is trying to pull the strings some other ways. So this will be very interesting to see the
Another good line. I'm glad you said that, because she says that to Rhaenys. Something about how we can control the men, we can control how they rule. Again, I forget it, but like it was another good line she says to Rhaenys when she's like, "You could have been queen. Like, we can't rule, but we can rule." I don't know how she said it, but she says something like, "We can rule like how the men were like ruling through them in some way." I forget. I'm fucking it all up, but I didn't write it down. But she said something. She said it more eloquently, obviously, but she said something like that.
And Rennie's countered that by saying, "You're no different
Yeah.
because you're letting the men
Right.
run the show
And
when,
still, you get ruled by men.
like you're no different. Like, don't you see yourself on the Iron Throne?" And that was such a mic drop for me. You know, for me, Rhaenys is very like a wild card. Like, I don't know where her allegiance is. It's almost like, I don't know if she's really like for her Targaryen family or is she just being very neutral. Like, it seems like she's more neutral now. Like, she's just like, "Rhaenyra, this is your problem. Like, don't get me involved. You know, bye." Yeah, I really want to see Daemon square off with Aemon because they're
That
both
would
so
be
alike.
crazy.
Yeah, especially when Daemon gets to ride the bigger dragon that's currently nesting in one of the Dragonstone or Dragon Pits. All right, Juan, anything else to talk about before we close off?
Just one thing about the whole prophecy. For me, it's exciting to see that there's this divide, and I think a lot of people are making a big deal about Alicent hearing words that were meant for Rhaenyra. And for me, though, if it's prophesied, that means the events unfold as they should, because that's what prophecy is. Yeah, it was meant for Rhaenyra, but it was also meant for Alicent, because if Alicent doesn't hear this, the events won't transpire. Yeah, I mean, the events won't transpire as they do in order to lead to the prophecy coming true. If it's almost as if it's fate, right? I don't like to talk about fate too much because I know there's whole debates about fate. The greatest minds have already debated fate and all this stuff like that. But when I think about prophecy, it's almost as like, well, this is meant to happen. This thing that we're seeing is meant to happen. Viserys misspeaking to Alicent meant to happen, because if it doesn't, certain ways events unfold won't lead to the prophecy becoming real. So,
That's a great point. Like, I think it was meant to be that way. And as much as I roll my eyes, you know, just thinking about how someone who's high on the milk of poppy saying all this gibberish to someone who's like super dutiful and like religious and takes the word of the king as the law of the land and suddenly went off with it and having the father that has a hidden agenda. Like, yeah, these events were meant to be because otherwise we wouldn't get to Jon Snow.
Right, or the prince that was promised in
The
the
prince that
whole,
was promised and who didn't really kill the Night King. Like, if you think about it, like, okay, yeah, he was around, but it was Arya
in the end,
Stark that killed. So is she the prince that was promised? Is it Bran Stark? Is it? Yeah, dude, I wish they redo that. I mean, I wish they redo Game of Thrones. That's crazy. All right, Lon, for real, any last words for our
That's it for
listeners?
me.
All right, that's it for me too, guys. Well, nothing else to say. Be nice to one another. And till next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents, or on Patreon at WTF Extra. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90 Day Fiancé WTF. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast.